is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Candidates Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and their surrogates are visiting the battleground states, including Ohio, from now till Tuesday's election. Bernie Sanders is in Cincinnati today. Donald Trump will be in Wilmington, Ohio, tomorrow. Will all this last-minute campaigning make a difference? Joining me to talk about the election, political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU's politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. We'll have the trivia question, too. You can call the program at 513-419-7100. We're also on Facebook or Twitter, and you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. Well, good afternoon. Are you with us, Ken?
I am, in only 2 weeks until the election.
It's crazy.
Wait, it's not 2 weeks.
No, you did say 2 weeks, and I just went right along with you. That's terrible. Five days away.
My goodness.
5 days.
All right, Howard, I don't think your microphone's on. Can we turn on Mike? Howard's mic, Dave, please? Turn on Howard's mic, please. All right, there we go.
Okay.
So basically, you need to turn on somebody's microphone to be heard on the radio.
I know, it's a crazy thing.
Imagine that.
Crazy thing. Well, let's talk a little bit. First, do we do the, you guys have to fill me in. I'm filling in for Mark. I don't think I've ever hosted when Ken's been on.
This is your first one, I believe.
So tell me, do we do the trivia question right out of the gate, or do we wait a few minutes?
No, we do it
whatever you like. Usually we do it right away.
Okay. Well, then I'm ready.
But
are you ready?
I am ready, and because yesterday was the most exciting, or very exciting, Game 7 of the World Series, why not a baseball trivia question, right?
Why not?
Okay. When was the last time a World Series went to a Game 7, the National League won, as it did last night, and the Democrats won the presidency, all in the same year?
Okay, so say that one more time, because that's a lot of factors there.
I know, a lot of thinking there. Last time a World Series went to a Game 7, the National League won, and the Democrats went on to win the presidency.
Okay, so it's the last time ever there was a Game 7 in the World Series, or the last time the Democrats won?
In a presidential year.
Okay.
That the National League won and the Democrats won the White House.
All right, so if you know the answer to that, you want to call in right now at 513-419-7100. That's 513-419-7100. Game 7 of the World Series in a presidential year. When was the last time? It's a time when the Democrats won the White House, correct?
Right. And the National League won.
Oh, and the National League won. There we go. So that's our question.
I'm trying to make it as complicated as possible.
You're succeeding. And Howard's here writing all sorts of notes, so I think he's got some ideas there.
I'm on air. Yeah.
All right, and speaking of baseball, I just have to say one more time how really, truly I am happy for the Cubs and how terribly sad I am for my Cleveland Indians. Okay.
Well,
but we'll move on.
It was a great series, and today is like the first day of winter for me.
That's right. But the election's not here yet.
If we didn't have enough nail-biting last night, we're going to have it for the next 5 days, that's for sure.
Well, that's exactly...
Or maybe afterwards, too.
That's exactly right. Ken, tell us what you're thinking in terms of the election right now. We've got all the candidates traveling, their surrogates are traveling. What's happening in this final push as we head to Tuesday?
It's getting closer. I don't know if it's because of the FBI Director Comey's letter, but it is getting closer. Republicans are getting more energized about their candidate, Donald Trump. Democrats a little apprehensive, given what the FBI has done in the past few days, you know, getting involved in the presidential election as they did. And we could talk about the role of the FBI in that as well. But the polls are closed. You know, after the second and third debate, after the Billy Bush tape was leaked, after Donald Trump saying, I may not accept the results of the election. It seemed like Hillary Clinton was pulling away. 2 weeks ago in the New York Times CBS poll, she was up 9 points over Donald Trump. The new poll that came out today, New York Times and CBS, Clinton 45, Trump 42, it has tightened.
Does this often happen that it gets this close, closer to Election Day? Isn't it usually when they separate?
Well, that's what I would say. As a matter of fact, for the longest time, I thought this was going to be similar to 1980, when it was very close all along. Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter had their one debate, which Reagan won convincingly, and then he pulled away in the final week of the campaign. Yeah. That's the way I thought it was going to happen. Hillary Clinton was already talking about winning in reliably red states, like Arizona, perhaps Utah, perhaps Georgia. But now, again, with the enthusiasm for Trump on the upswing, with more Republicans coming home to back Trump. You know, for the longest time, the Republican Party was pretty split over his candidacy, and it still is, but more Republicans are coming home. And again, Hillary Clinton has been on the defensive since Friday and James Comey's letter to Congress.
You know, there are a lot of kind of poll watchers who were saying all along that there were these hidden Trump voters who weren't showing up in the polls. And do you think are these people now coming out?
You know something? I really don't think there were hidden Trump voters. I think, yeah. I mean, people say that, well, maybe, you know, it's like the so-called Bradley effect in California, right, where people wouldn't tell people that they were voting against an African-American candidate, Tom Bradley, who was running for governor of California in 1982. Yeah. But I suspect that really these Republicans were torn, that they didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. They were upset about the thought about higher taxes and Supreme Court choices and more liberal policies. But they detested Donald Trump. He wasn't a true conservative. They detested what he was doing to the Republican Party on issues like Putin and NATO and trade and immigration. I mean, I thought the Republicans learned a lesson after 2012 that the way to win was to be more inclusive with Latinos and Asians and women and, right, and, you know, all the lessons they thought they learned. So they didn't. I just think that either it's just a bad time for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is trying to make it closer. But having said that, I don't see major changes. There are changes, but I don't see major changes in the Electoral College, right, in the battleground states that could really overturn what we thought was going to happen the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very narrow path that Donald Trump's going to have to walk to get the 270 electoral votes. And, you know, if you look at where he stands in a lot of these battleground states, it's just not enough.
Well, let's talk.
Ohio, which has gone for Obama the last two times, Howard, Ohio looks like it's moving in Trump's direction.
Oh, it is. There's no question about it. Quinnipiac said yesterday up 5 points in Ohio, you know, which is rather astounding. I mean, I thought it would be, you know, maybe, you know, 1 point, 2 points at the most.
Well, let's talk.
But it seems like it's the kind of. I'm sorry, Marianne.
Go right ahead.
I was just going to say, but Ohio seems like the kind of state that's aging. It's still pretty much white. It's lost a lot of jobs to, you know, shipped overseas, and this seems like the perfect demographic for Donald Trump if he's going to make any impact on November 8th.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Electoral College. So is it popular? This could be one of those Al Gore situations where the popular vote goes one way and the Electoral College goes another.
It could. I mean, obviously, the numbers, the national numbers are close. Right now, I mean, my numbers have, so I still have Hillary Clinton winning the presidency through the Electoral College pretty comfortably. But again, if we see latest numbers that North Carolina, which it had been in her column, is tightening, New Hampshire is tightening, Nevada is tightening, then, and even Colorado is supposed to be tightening, and Wisconsin, it's hard to imagine, but the polls show it tightening. Then, you know, all the Democrats who were sitting back and measuring the drapes. Remember, we were talking a few days ago, or maybe a week or so ago, Hillary Clinton was hinting that, well, you know, maybe Joe Biden would make a great Secretary of State. I think they have things to worry about before they make cabinet picks.
All right. Well,
but is this all the Comer effect? You know, the fact that he came out with this October surprise.
You know, it's that. It's the fact that, I mean, I think people are realizing that their health care premiums are jumping up, which is not good news for Hillary Clinton. I think the WikiLeaks hasn't helped either. Now, of course, the Democrats will argue, and correctly so, that, my goodness, we've been hacked by the Russian government. At least that's the feeling among intelligence agencies. But people just see what's in those leaks, and they see that it's just some kind of, you know, the kind of stuff that Hillary Clinton has always been accused of being too cute by half, you know, not fully willing to be open and honest and things like that. But, you know, it's interesting. We've seen lie after lie after lie, or at least misstatement after misstatement after misstatement by Donald Trump, and yet so many voters are saying, boy, that Hillary Clinton is so dishonest. You know, what about those emails?
Right.
And the latest Washington Post ABC News poll had her with 60% unfavorable. Trump was 58% unfavorable. Whoever wins, and I assume one of those people will win unless Gary McMillan scores an amazing upset on Tuesday, but one of them is going to go into the White House with the worst approval ratings of any new president in memory.
Yeah.
Well, what about all of this with the FBI? Do you think that's really making a huge difference right now in the way the polls have turned? Do you think that's the deciding factor?
Well, I think it's part of it.
Let me just say one thing about it. I don't know what the FBI said. Comey said to Lennon, said, we found these emails on Anthony Weiner's computer. I can't believe we're still talking about Anthony Weiner in 2016. But we found these emails, and we're going to look at it. And we don't know, the FBI doesn't know if it's duplicates of what we saw before, or it's new stuff, or it has anything to do with the Hillary Clinton email server investigation. We don't know, but now Donald Trump is going up around the country, left and right, saying, this is more proof about her corruption. We don't know anything, and yet it's the front page of every newspaper in the country.
So what happens? Do you think anything comes out about them before the actual election Tuesday, or do you think everything's going to happen afterwards, if anything happens?
They say that there's no way that they can get this done in five days. Maybe be weeks.
Right.
And, you know, do I think Comey did this on purpose? I don't. But do I think he was missed the whole point and was just, you know, didn't realize what this would do to the country and the election? I think he just missed it. I think he was just so interested in being, you know, correct and independent and proper that he just threw the whole country into this tailspin over something that might not even be there, and yet that's all that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, as you say, it may not have anything to do with Hillary Clinton whatsoever. But nonetheless, she's got to wear it and she's got to live with it all the way through Tuesday.
Does this all go back to the fact that she had a private email account? Is that the whole problem?
Yeah, I mean, there is that.
I mean, basically, you know, the question really is that if she didn't have this email server, private email server, and perhaps it was done because she wanted to keep things away from the prying eyes of the government, who knows? But the point is, this is one of the reasons why Hillary Clinton has those negative numbers in the polls, that the love of secrecy, guarding of true feelings and what she's really thinking. And I mean, look, the people who have had problems with Hillary Clinton for decades, you know, we talk about the vast right-wing conspiracy. There'll always be some reason why people don't like Hillary Clinton. But right now, the FBI letter, the Comey letter, has given more people a reason to have those suspicions.
We're going to take a short break. When we continue our discussion, we'll have you go over the trivia question again. We'll see if anybody got that right, and we'll continue our discussion about politics in just a moment. You can call us with questions and comments at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. We're talking politics today with political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU's politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. All right, you had the trivia question. Ken, if you'll give it to us one more time.
The last time a World Series game went to a Game 7 during a presidential election year, it was the last time the National League won and the Democrats won the White House. When was that?
All right, we're going to go first to John in Loveland. Hi, John. What's your answer?
Hello.
Hi.
I would say, 1964,
Ken.
1964 is the correct answer.
Wait a minute.
1964 is the correct answer?
You know something? It is. Actually, I was thinking, oh my goodness. That's what happens when you have a strange phone line.
Wait a minute.
I was thinking the last time was 1960. But actually, 64 was the last time. It went to a Game 7. The Cardinals beat the Yankees, and Lyndon Johnson was elected. 1964
okay.
is
All
the
right.
correct answer.
Okay, I got you.
John, you're a winner.
Way to go, John.
Yay.
All righty. Well,
hey, that'll make my dad happy.
John didn't sound as excited as I'm sounding flustered.
Well, that was not the answer that we thought was going to be the winner. So
good.
Here we go. John, we're going to just stay on the line, and we'll get your information so we can get you your very special prize of a Political Junkie button, and thank you so much. Ken, you had a whole theory about all of this, all of the World Series winners and presidential years based on who's going to win the election. Even wrote up in Sports Illustrated. Tell us about it.
It's not a theory. It's an absolute
fact. Yeah.
All right, the fact.
It is. Yeah.
And that is when the World Series goes to a Game 7 and the American League wins the World Series, Republicans win the White House. When the National League wins the World Series, the Democrats win the White House. And that's true going back to, I think, every Game 7 in World Series presidential history, that's been the case. The last time, of course, was the Oakland A's in 1972. Oakland A's won the World Series, beat the Reds. I think it was the Reds. Nixon won the White House. When the Yankees were winning in 52 and 56, Eisenhower won. So when the American League wins Game 7 in the World Series, the Republicans win the White House. When the National League wins, as Chicago did last night, the Democrats win. So that clearly means that Hillary Clinton is going to be elected president.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that settles it. Yeah, we might as well call off the election. Didn't you have 1940 on that list, too?
1940, also when Cincinnati won the World Series, exactly.
Against the Detroit Tigers.
Right, in 1940, and FDR was elected for a third term.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I just wanted to get that old Reds plug.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah,
don't want to forget that. All right, so on to the...
Howard, you're a Cincinnati fan. I keep forgetting, right?
Yeah.
I know it's a shock.
Yes, sir.
Nobody in town knows that.
If anybody, all they do is have to go to Facebook, and when I see pictures of Howard in his Reds uniform, I'm convinced he's on the team.
Yeah.
I'm convinced he's either
on the 26th man,
1940 team. I don't know.
He's had his chance to throw out the ceremonial first pitch.
I did do that. There we go.
Well, let's talk about all the surrogates that have been traveling around the country. Hillary Clinton seems to have an awful lot of them, from President Obama to Vice President Biden to her daughter Chelsea to her husband Bill. Donald Trump also has Melania. His wife is supposed to be giving a speech. Do these surrogates make a difference in the election?
I think they can. I don't know if if having Eric and Donald Jr. and his wife's name, Melania and Ivanka and all those people, I don't know if they make a difference. But when I see Barack Obama in North Carolina in heavily black areas where the African-American early voting numbers seem to be much weaker than they were 4 years ago when Obama was on the ballot, I think the president could make a difference. I think Michelle Obama, who is perhaps one of the most popular people in the country, she hasn't attacked Republicans the way, you know, Bill Clinton or the president has. She's been more of a positive speaker. I think both the first lady and the president, when they're out there doing their thing, I think it can boost turnout. It could energize the base, and that's what they're trying to do.
What do you think about Bernie Sanders? I mean, he's going to be on the University of Cincinnati campus today. He's going to colleges. He's doing the best he can to get them whipped up. And it's all targeted at early voting, trying to get those people to go down and cast a ballot early, either in person or by mail.
Well, you know something? That talks about how important presidential organization is.
Oh, yes.
You could have all the money in the world, and you could, you know, I always think of 2012 when Mitt Romney and Barack Obama had all the same amount of money. But Romney would spend much of his money on national television and commercials, whereas Obama spent a lot of money on get-out-the-vote efforts, focusing on the early states, like the Ohios, like the Floridas, like the North Carolinas, and getting their people, the boots on the ground, to get out the vote. That is really crucial. I mean, a good example is in North Carolina in 2008. Mm-hmm. On Election Day, John McCain won that state, but because of the early voting for Barack Obama, Obama carried it ultimately. So
Ken, the same thing happened in Ohio in 2012. Mitt Romney won on Election Day. He won Ohio's vote on Election Day. The people who actually voted on that date. But Barack Obama was so far ahead of him in the early voting that Obama won Ohio.
I think that explains helps explain that famous meltdown that Karl Rove had on.
Yes, it does. It really does.
They definitely went Ohio, but ultimately, of course, they did not.
Right.
So as we look at all the polls and we look at where all this is headed right now and all the folks coming in, is anybody even considering a Libertarian candidate at this point, Gary Johnson? Is he going to make a play or make any difference in the turnout, or not in the turnout, excuse me, but in the results?
He's doing very well in Aleppo, so he may carry that city, which I think is supposed to be very good. Look, here's the thing. We say this every 4 years, and we're right every 4 years, that the numbers for the independent and third-party candidates in August and September are always high. There's always dissatisfaction with the major party candidates, but ultimately, when it comes down to it, late October and the vote in November shows they decrease. Yeah. Sizably. And of course, everybody says in 2016, given how unpopular Clinton and Trump are with a large segment of the population, this would be a great year for third party candidates. But right now, the polls show it. In the New York Times poll, Gary Johnson has 5 points, 5%. Jill Stein of the Green Party has 4. In the Washington Post poll, it's 3 and 2. Mm-hmm. But in a close state, like for example, everybody, you don't have to mention, everybody remembers Ralph Nader in Florida in 2000. He only got about 2% of the vote, or maybe even less, maybe 1.7% of the vote in Florida, but it was enough to cost Al Gore the state. So even if they don't win, it's very possible that in some states, in close states, maybe New Mexico, maybe Utah, and this could make the difference, but right now it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah, the trend of the other votes dropping off is happening. I mean, it's happened since pretty steadily since the summer. But Ken's absolutely right. You get in a really tight contest like that, it can make a huge difference.
Getting back to early voting, if we can, just for a moment, you were talking about how Barack Obama won Ohio because of early voting. Mm-hmm. The number of people that are voting early this time around is not what it was when Barack Obama was running for president. Is that going to make a difference, that turnout is just not as strong early as it was 4 years ago or 8 years ago?
Yeah, well,
Go ahead, Howard.
Well, no, I mean, in Ohio, the Republicans are actually doing a little bit better than they usually do, with early voting, even though they don't have the ground organization. They don't have as many of the high-profile surrogates. And it's not just the families. It's not just the Bernies and all those people. It's like rock stars, musicians who are coming in and doing concerts on college campuses. To try to pump that up. I think in the end, in Ohio at least, she's going to have a very, very big advantage among the early voters.
I was going to say, I've seen numbers where I think 29 million people have voted early so far. That may even be above what it was 4 years ago. What Democrats are most nervous about is that the African-American turnout is less than it was 4 years ago with Obama not on the ballot. And again, as I said, that's why Obama is in North Carolina, try to get the black vote excited. But in Florida, the Latino vote is higher than it was 4 years ago. Florida was the closest state in the country 4 years ago. Obama beat Romney by 0.9%, and obviously it was even closer in 2000. But if the Latino vote is an anti-Trump vote, and we don't know if it is, and because there's now signs that the Cuban vote is getting more and more energized about Trump, I mean, then that Latino vote could be significant in Florida as well. So I think there were 46 million people who voted early in 2012. Again, this is how important organization is, because organization focuses on these early voting states to get the vote out. And it could be very significant, almost as significant as 2012.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question for Ken or Howard today, you also can email those questions to talk@WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can put those questions there as well.
I mean, that's one of the – Ken mentioned the African-American vote. Hillary Clinton's campaign is working very hard to try to get those folks to come out and vote early. You know, they have these operations in the black churches in the urban areas, you know, called Souls of the Polls, where pastors actually get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning, say, okay, everybody's going to get on the bus and go down to the Board of Elections and cast your ballots, the Souls to the Polls. And it worked marvelously in 2008 and 2012. But it worked because Barack Obama was on the ballot and Hillary Clinton is not Barack Obama. And she's not generating the kind of enthusiasm among African-American voters that Obama did, for obvious reasons.
And you've also seen states like North Carolina, where the legislature has really done as much as it can mm-hmm. to put roadblocks in front of certain voting procedures, early voting, and you must have an ID and questioning people who come to the polls.
Right. There was
the accusation out made by Democrats and African Americans that in certain states like North Carolina, there was a deliberate effort to impede black voting participation. And that's obviously something the Justice Department will have to watch. And when Donald Trump said the other day, he said that I want my supporters to vote and then go into certain areas to make sure there is no fraud going on, mm-hmm. not a rigged election, everybody know what that meant. It was a wink at let's go into black and poor neighborhoods, make sure there's no fraud going on. And if anything, a lot of people felt that it was intimidation. So,
yeah.
So I mean, this is just a surreal election with ugly overtones, and that's one other indication where it's coming to fore.
You both have brought up Barack Obama a lot. Is it common for a sitting president to do as much campaigning as he has done? I mean, I'm trying to think back to when I know Bill Clinton didn't because Al Gore didn't want him to. But what about like Ronald Reagan? Did he campaign as much for George H.W. Bush?
Well, Ronald Reagan, of course, in 1988, when Bush was running as basically a third term of Reagan, Reagan was not as spry and young as he had been earlier, so he didn't campaign as much. Of course, John McCain wanted nothing little to do with George W. Bush in 2008 because Bush's numbers were so bad. And Marianne, you're absolutely right about Clinton and Gore in 2000. Gore had this very ambivalent relationship with Clinton, wanted his excitement but didn't want to be tarnished by scandal. But
Want to go all the way back to Dwight Eisenhower. He didn't want anything to do with Richard Nixon in 1960.
Well, do you remember that famous quote where the reporter said,
name something important
that Nixon did in his administration, and Eisenhower said, give me a few weeks, I'll think of something. But I think Barack Obama may have done more than any other outgoing two-term president that I can remember.
That I can recall, yes.
Yeah.
Especially as of course, Hillary Clinton was his former rival in 2008.
Sure. Well, but she was also his Secretary of State.
Yeah. We're going to go to Phil now in Union. If you have a question, 513-419-7100. Hi, Phil. What's your question?
It's more of a comment.
Sure.
I feel that, you know, I don't think there's really a clear-cut answer. I don't think that anybody really is going to who is going to get voted in for president. And I feel that, you know, maybe it's time to start looking 4 years into the future. Like myself, like I was ready to vote for Kasich all day long. When he didn't make the Republican ballot, I'm like, okay, well, let's maybe start thinking, okay, well, maybe Hillary might be a viable solution, you know, for 4 years so that Kasich can set himself up in 2020 to, you know, maybe bring the party back, you know, for the Republicans.
You think a lot of people doing that, Ken?
Well, the problem with that, and I think Phil's right. I mean, clearly Kasich is looking at 2020 as many Republicans, other Republicans are. But I suspect that Donald Trump will have a long memory. You know how he reacts when he's slighted. And the John Kasichs and, for a time, the Ted Cruzes of the world who were battling him, refusing to endorse him, refusing to campaign with him, the Trump people may be very aware of it and remember, have long memories in 2020. Saying that, look, Kasich didn't do me any favors in 2016. I'm going to make life miserable for him in 2020. It all depends, of course, on how potent Donald Trump remains in 4 years from now.
Right. And I guess the good news is that Donald Trump didn't like any of them. I mean, there weren't any of them that he really liked that were running against him.
Well, he likes the ones who have endorsed him.
Well, yeah.
He's not happy with the ones who say who distance him themselves from him, like the John McCain and the Kelly Ayotte.
Yeah, Kasich is number one on that list. Yeah.
But, I mean, you said it. You know, the National League won the they swept. You know, they went to Game 7. You know, they decided it already. So let's, you know.
So Phil's ready to move on to 2020. Phil, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Kathy calling in from Anderson Township. Hi, Kathy. What's your question?
Yes, hi. I was horrified when I mailed my ballot in on Monday to... I think I had been alerted through Facebook or a text message or something that had told me to make sure you put extra postage on the envelope. There was no notification on the envelope that this requires extra postage. So, I mean, you could mail somebody a teddy bear and get that warning, but it wasn't on the ballot.
Howard,
so,
Howard.
I don't know where who was saying this, but they're wrong. You can mail it in, and they'll take care of the postage. I mean, as long as they get it in there, it's fine.
So,
in fact, you don't even have to mail it in there. You can drive by the Board of Elections. There's a drop box. You stick it in. It's secure. It's locked.
But if somebody does mail it in, and does it require more than one stamp? Or if you put one stamp on it, it'll get there?
Yeah, it'll get there anyway. Yeah.
And if it costs more than that, the Board of Elections picks up the extra cost?
Yeah.
I think that from what Howard says, Kathy, you should be able to get it through. But thank you so much for calling.
But I don't, there's so much misinformation out there that's being put out, and I don't know why or where it's coming from.
Thanks for your call, Kathy.
It was a big, heavy envelope, and I'm not surprised, actually, that it needed it.
But it sounds like the Board of Elections pays the extra postage when it arrives. They'll pay the postage due.
Very good.
Okay, thanks so much for calling, Kathy. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Our phone number, 513-419-7100. We're talking politics today. You can call us, as we said, or email us, talk@wvxu.org. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney today. We're talking politics with political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU's politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And we have a person on the phone, Jim. Jim is calling in from Norwood. Hi, Jim. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just curious, the last two elections, African-Americans followed in behind Barack Obama, but the women don't seem to be supporting Hillary.
Do you think that's true, that Hillary Clinton is not getting the female support that you might expect as the first woman presidential candidate?
Yes.
I'm talking, Ken?
I think Jim is onto something. The numbers are not as strong as I thought they would be. Obviously, even though, of course, we know that were she to be elected on November, she would make history. But it doesn't feel as historic to younger women, at least younger women voters, as polls are indicating, that I would have expected. One thing that I do see in the polls is that Hillary Clinton has a 14-point lead among women. That was in the CBS poll, the New York Times poll that came out today. But I would have expected a bigger margin than 14 points, given all the comments that Donald Trump has said about women, given the fact that Hillary Clinton is blanketing the airwaves with commercials reminding people what Donald Trump has said about women. But one way to look at it is in 2012, one of Mitt Romney's strongest constituencies were white women. He had a sizable lead with white women in 2012, and in 2016, it split between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Jim, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Again, our number, 513-419-7100. Darlene's calling from Springfield. Hi, Darlene. What's your question?
Hi. Well, it's a comment. I'm a supporter of Gary Johnson because I like him, and I'd love it if he did win. And I know that's a long shot, but I'm going to vote for him anyway, because if he at least reaches 5% in the polls, then next presidential election, we won't have this Republican-Democrat gridlock, because the Libertarians will be on the ballot without having to go through all the, getting all the signatures and such. So that's why I'm casting my vote for Johnson, is to break up this death grip that the Republicans and the Democrats have on each other. I'd like to see more options out there.
Yeah, what people have to understand is Johnson is on the ballot in Ohio, but without party designation, because the Libertarians, as our caller said, they don't have ballot status in Ohio yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if, you know, I think it's going to be difficult, but, you know, not impossible for him to do that. And one of the reasons why Libertarians don't have a ballot status is because they were basically thrown off by the Republicans, in Columbus when Governor Kasich was running for re-election. And I don't think he wanted any competition.
Yep. And that's the kind of thing that, basically it's a protest vote. And so I encourage other people that are on the fence and don't like either one, either Clinton or Trump, to vote for Johnson, so that next election the Libertarian Party has coverage over the country and they can start fundraising right off the bat. And we can hear more than one voice and maybe hear about the issues instead of about all these scandals and personal attacks.
Ken, thoughts?
Yeah, I think Darlene makes a very good point. I think that there are several things. First of all, the Libertarian Party always seems to be on the ballot in all 50 states. It may be more of an effort with having signatures than it should, but I think they're always on 50-state ballot. I really think also that Gary Johnson, had he made it to the debates, it would have made a big difference. The last third-party candidate in the debates was Ross Perot in 1992. He also had $60 million at his disposal back then. And of course, if you could only get in the debates by having 15% of the polls, right, according to the Commission on Presidential Debates, that really hurts the third-party candidate. But I think if you want to break up the Republican and Democratic gridlock and what's going on in politics, and I suspect there's going to be awful, awful gridlock come November 9th, and certainly after January 20th, when the next president is sworn in, the Libertarian Party or any third party needs to start getting their act together, not 2 months or 6 months before the presidential election, but start recruiting candidates for lower level offices for Congress. If you want a different voice, get these people to run for lower, smaller office, because it seems like the D's and the R's have the presidential race locked up. But if you have an opportunity to change local elections, state legislative elections, even congressional elections with third party candidates, do it sooner than later.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Darlene. We appreciate it.
I mean, right now in Ohio, only the Green Party has ballot status, aside from the Democrats and the Republicans. And they're running candidates in some, lower races, like, legislative races and those kind of things. But, it's still very difficult for them to get their message out. And the Libertarians, like I said, Gary Johnson is on the ballot in Ohio, but it doesn't say Libertarian next to his name. He's an independent in Ohio.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Go ahead, Ken.
Oops, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. I'm just saying, though, that, look, when you have a presidential race between Trump and Clinton that's so close and so heart throbbing with such short time to go, I think the third party candidate should forget about 2016 for the moment, and then on November 9th start focusing on the off year elections and build up a bench of alternative candidates to run in the elections.
Yeah, I agree.
Stan's calling from Mason. Hi, Stan. What's your comment or question?
Hi, hello everybody. I just wondered, in your opinion, what will happen if the electoral vote, the electrical count, does go for Hillary Clinton, but the numerical count throughout the country manages to go for Donald Trump. Trump has made such a thing of this being a rigged election. And I just wonder is how much trouble he could make if he does get the numerical plurality, and Clinton gets the electoral.
Sure.
Vote.
Howard?
Well, I mean, clearly, we elect our president based on whoever gets to 270 electoral votes, period. It doesn't matter what the popular vote is nationwide. And, you know, we've had elections where the candidate that won the popular vote didn't win the electoral vote.
But I think what he's saying is what Donald Trump has said about the election
being rigged.
You know, what will that do? Ken, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, we don't have to go back that far in our history because that's exactly what happened in 2000.
Right.
Al Gore got more popular votes than George W. Bush by winning Florida, won the Electoral College. Al Gore could have made mischief. He gave a very magnanimous concession speech after the Supreme Court had its say in December of 2000.
Yes.
And even though he won the more votes in the popular vote, he lost the Electoral College. Now, of course, that's the argument a lot of people have against the Electoral College, that it thwarts the will of the people. It's not going to change anytime soon, but again, nobody's going to ever confuse Al Gore with Donald Trump, and if Donald Trump wants to make mischief, if he wants to not accept the results of the presidency, and look, a lot of Democrats didn't accept 2000 results either, and it took maybe until 9/11 when they realized that George W. Bush may actually be president after all. I suspect that Donald Trump, should he win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College, that would add to, I mean, Stan make a good point. It may add to his argument that it's rigged, it's crooked, and something needs to change. But I don't know. Of course, I don't know what he could do because the Constitution.
It's the Constitution, right?
Stan, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. We go now to Justin.
That's a good call. That's a good question. I like that.
Justin and Lebanon. Hi, Justin. What's your question today?
I just have a comment. I am a Republican and a very. I guess, or very conservative. And, you know, this year's election is one of those that I'm 32, so I've seen a few. But this one is definitely one for the book, saying that whether a Republican is on the fence or not to vote for Hillary or be a libertarian, I think is overlooking the fact that the choices that this next president has to make, mainly with the Supreme Court. And, you know, we're not voting for the pastor of someone's church. We're voting for someone that's going to lead the country in the direction that, as a Republican, I feel that it should go.
So are you saying whether you believe Trump is the correct person or not, you would vote for him because he's a Republican?
Exactly. Yes. Because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of scandal out there. And my moral code as a Christian, I don't like anything that Trump's done. But when you look at the greater picture, I think is what people have to realize at this election.
Ken, do you think a lot of people are feeling that way?
Yes, and I mean, not that I try to plug my own political junkie podcast on your show, but
go right ahead.
I have Vin Weber, the Republican strategist, on the show this week, and Vin Weber is a loyal Republican, always a solid Republican. He does not like Hillary Clinton, fears her completely on Supreme Court, as Justin said, and taxes and things like that. But he's so angry at what Donald Trump has done to the Republican Party and his views on issues like trade and relationships with NATO and Putin and immigration. He says it's such anathema to the Republican principles. He says, and he makes the case, that the best thing that could happen for the Republican Party is having Hillary Clinton in the White House. And of course, yes, you could get Supreme Court justices, but it would energize the Republican Party. I suspect Donald Trump as president, for the conservative Republicans, they would just be pulling their hair out and perhaps fighting with Trump as much as they would about with Democrats. So it's a tough call. I mean, Hillary Clinton, obviously, her numbers are not good. A lot of people don't like her. But clearly, there are a lot of Republicans who say that, as many have said, that Donald Trump is a con, that he doesn't believe, he doesn't have any philosophical philosophical conservative philosophy at all, and he could be more of a disaster for the Republican Party than Hillary Clinton would.
Justin, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it.
You know, it's interesting what Justin says about, having these Christian moral values, and there's so many evangelical Christians that are supporting Trump, which
I think of that all the time.
Which fascinates me. I mean, just how they make that leap, and I think Justin kind of explained it.
Jordan's calling
and
from
Justin
Milford.
Is not alone.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Justin's not alone.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of evangelicals, as Howard just said, who have these views about morality and the way people should act, and yet, regardless of that, they still say Donald Trump is a preferred candidate.
Jordan's calling from Milford. Hi, Jordan. What did you want to say?
Hi. Yeah, I was just wondering if Hillary Clinton, she supposedly has this large voter base, but a lot of the people agree that she's untrustworthy or dishonest. And through all the scandals she's been through, all these investigations, why do you guys think that if she does have that voter base, people are so quick to support her? And why does the media tend to like lean more towards Hillary Clinton?
Do you think?
I don't think the media certainly is ignoring the scandals. I mean, I think if you've been following her career since First Lady in the 1990s, I mean, almost every headline between Whitewater and Travelgate and of course now the email things and the Clinton Foundation, there's no. And I think if it was any other Democratic candidate, like let's just say Joe Biden were the Democratic nominee, I think there would be no. Like all the people say, I like Hillary even though, or I like Hillary but, they wouldn't be saying that about Joe Biden. If it weren't for the toxic behavior and statements by Donald Trump, I think the focus would be about Hillary Clinton, and this would be a referendum on Hillary Clinton. And so far, given what he has said in the past, I think this is really a referendum on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Howard?
So just presidential.
I'm sorry, Jordan, go ahead.
Donald Trump. Just basically like a fear of a Trump presidency.
Look what he said. Look what he said about Putin and women and the handicapped and Latinos and building a wall and send them back. It's not. I mean, if the Republican Party learned anything after 2012, it's like this is not the way to win a majority. The demographics in this country are changing rapidly, and to have right. such a nativist kind of point of view, it just keeps the Republicans from ever winning again.
Jordan, thanks so much for your call.
In my personal view,
thank you.
Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Howard, you were about to say something there.
No, that's good.
One thing I wanted to get to, we only have a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about the idea of the Senate flipping. Is mm-hmm. that there's, the Democrats, of course, were trying to see if they could flip the Senate. Doesn't seem terribly likely, certainly with the Senate race in Ohio. What do you all think about overall?
I think they could do it. I don't know if I'm ready to predict it yet. I think they certainly win in Illinois with Mark Kirk going down to defeat. They could win in Wisconsin with Russ Feingold defeating Ron Johnson, which looks likely, even though those polls have narrowed. They know they need only two more. So if they can beat Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire or Richard Burr in North Carolina, or even Rory Blunt in Missouri, and if Evan Bayh could come back and win in Indiana. In other words, it's very doable for the Democrats. I don't think the House is in question. I think the Republicans keep control of the House, although with fewer numbers, but the Democrats could very well win the Senate.
Yeah, they have a very good shot at it, or at least a fair shot at it. Ohio just dropped off the map. I mean, it was a battleground in this contest, but it's no longer a battleground. I think, Portman's up by 15 points in the average.
He's running
polls.
A great campaign.
And running a great campaign. He's got all the money in the world and all the organization. So,
I know you won't believe it, but we're out of time. But there's good news. You're both back next week.
Yeah, that's
next
right.
Next week we'll
yeah.
be talking after yeah. the election, and we can see how many of these predictions came true.
Okay.
Thank
Marianne,
you, Bob.
Marianne, even after I hang up, I'm going to still be talking.
I believe it. Thank you so much.
All right.
We've been talking politics today with political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU's politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Assistant producer is Belinda Kai. Today's technical director was Dave Shermer. We also had help today from Belinda Kyer. Engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Mark Haney. This is Cincinnati Edition.
On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll review and discuss the people, stories, and events that affected the tri-state this week. We'll present an in-depth look at the developments behind the headlines with editors and reporters from WVXU and other local news organizations. And we'd like to hear and share your thoughts on this week's news and how it was reported. Join us on the next Cincinnati Edition for our weekly news review, Friday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.